It's been a crazy day.
I think we're there. All right.
We are there. Okay. We've got our group. So thanks everyone for joining us again. We're getting some photos here. Okay. Someone's got some noise going on. If you could mute your phone, if it might be you, that would be great, or your computer. So thanks everyone for joining us this afternoon. A lot of stuff going on, and you know, a lot of things have happened since we last spoke at the town hall. You know, certainly some unfortunate events have occurred. I'm going to dive right into that. It's quite controversial. I think everyone has probably seen and certainly knows about the death of George Floyd, which happened here in Minneapolis. You know, this event has touched a nerve and, you know, uncovered not completely blindly uncovered, but uncovered a significant problem that extends throughout the United States and around the world, you know, with respect to racism and people's views on racism. It's a very sensitive topic, and it's in a public forum. It's not an easy topic to address. There are many diverse opinions about it and where the problems originate and what the solutions are. But there are some things, you know, that more or less everyone can agree on. And I think that is that it's a horrible thing that happened. It was disgusting to watch. And we have problems with racism that need to be resolved. And, you know, while not everyone agrees about maybe what the problems are and how to resolve them, you know, there's the problems need to be addressed. You know, some public figures have said the wrong thing and it's affected them in a very negative way. And so, you know, I think that my message to everyone, you know, as a couple, one is this is a very sensitive issue, and it's important that, you know, you really understand the context in the environment you are when you're talking about it, and how the people around you feel about this issue, and that you're sensitive to them. You know, we have an issue with race relations in the United States, and reactions in Canada suggest that there are issues in there as well. And with any big problem, it's complex and there's many aspects to it. I can tell you what I'm doing, and is that, you know, I'm looking for ways in which I can improve the situation. You know, I come from my own background. You know, I am the person that I am. And in that capacity, there are things that I can do to improve race relations. And, you know, my advice to everyone is that everyone should do that. I think that the frustrating thing here is that no one person can fix the broader problem. And because of that, we really shouldn't let any frustrations around whether we think the right or wrong approach is being pursued from making us as individuals do what we can to make the situation better. You know, I think ultimately if we all do that, that's going to have a lot more power than any sort of policy or, you know, whatever else goes on. And so I just really encourage, you know, you all and all of us as a group of people, reasonable people that are compassionate, to just think about, you know, what can you do around you and how can you make things better? And I think if we all do that, then, you know, we're really going to, you know, we're really going to create positive change. Really tough situation. And, you know, it's, I think, even more difficult because of the environment that we're in. You know, this is the 13th week of the coronavirus, environment as sort of we've been dealing with it at Ceres. You know, we apparently hit a peak in Minnesota, and I think this applies to Ontario as well, about 3 weeks ago, as the statistics are telling us now. However, we're starting to see that a second wave is emerging from the states that reopened earlier. And so, you know, I think the message again is just, this thing is, you know, it might be a little, you know, the numbers or statistics are a little bit better, but at the same time, there's still plenty of risk out there, especially if you happen to fall in the category you know, that lists the criteria for being at risk personally. And it's extremely important to pay attention to that. But, you know, this thing isn't gone. And there's a lot of talk about, like I said, it's starting to go back up in places that opened earlier. And then there's a lot of talk about what could happen in the fall. And so, you know, be sensitive to that. Be cautious. Do what you need to do to manage risk for you and your family and stay safe. We've done a great job as a company, and, you know, I'd like to see that continue for every one of you. We're using our offices on a limited basis. We're primarily working from home. We've talked a fair amount about that in the last, you know, couple of calls that we've had. We've been efficient, and that's been great, and we're going to continue to do it that way for now. But I want to bring some attention to just how effective we've been in our operations across the company. You know, early on, I think there was, you know, depending on the individual, depending on the location, there was a bit of anxiety around how we continue to work, at our facilities and work safely. I think the teams, you know, really did a wonderful job at providing feedback so that we could make customized changes in each location so that everyone felt comfortable and that everyone could operate safely. And we've done that. But really, you know, the teams in the locations have taken it to another level completely. And really the operational performance has been outstanding. And so I want to thank everyone in all of our locations and recognize you for the great work that you've been doing. We're having a great year as a company, and we're finishing the year really strong. And we're able to do that because we're operating so well. Just a few examples, and I'm definitely not going to cover all the examples. So I want everyone to know that, you know, we're really doing well everywhere, and everyone is to be congratulated for that. But just a few examples to highlight what I'm talking about. In Northgate, we just completed loading a Durham train in 10 hours last week. Really, really, really excellent. That requires some fantastic preparation and some real efficiency while we're loading the train. In Duluth, we've loaded 8 vessels since mid-April, and another vessel is ready to come in. So, I mean, we've been really busy performing at a level that rivals any time in our history, and we're doing it in this environment, and that's really impressive. Savage, a very similar story. In the month of May, we loaded 75 barges, and that was with 4 days down for dredging. We had a call with our partner there today, and I talked to them yesterday, and they are very impressed and pleased with the operational results in Savage. In St. Agathe, we loaded 55 cars of packaged bird seed for customers in May, and June will be at least that. So really great, you know, and that's exciting as well, because this is a new business for us. It was a new business for Delmar, and the business plan there was based on continued growth, and so we're able to increase volumes and continue growing even in this environment, and that's just fantastic. In Port Colborne, we installed a new dryer, and a cooling bin project is completed and test fired. So we're going to be running product through that in the coming weeks. Again, you know, working with contractors, you know, that's an added challenge to this environment. We got it done on time. That was extremely important for our supply chain customer, London Agricultural Commodities. And we would have had a good case to make by being a little bit delayed. They're undoubtedly impressed by the fact that we were able to get that done on time. So fantastic job. And really, you know, in all of our locations and all the locations I haven't mentioned, you know, we've had steady execution, unloading, loading, cleaning out bins, cleaning sunflowers, you know, a lot of tasks going on through this pandemic, and it's really been seamless. And so I want to thank, on behalf of everyone in the company, I want to thank you all for the great work that you've been doing and keeping us going. So thanks for that. I am going to, you know, I want to just show everyone what is the status in all the locations we are. And instead of only listening to me talk, I have an opportunity to share my screen. So I'm going to do that. And so let's go through it in a way you can see it. Okay. Let me put this in slideshow. Can everyone see that?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Everyone else is on mute. So we have a we have a new entrant to the list here, and I'm going to start with the one on the bottom. Many of you may not be aware, but we do have one employee in North Dakota, Miss Sandy Mack, and she was kind enough to point out to us that that we had not been providing an update there. So and we asked for the feedback. So thank you for that, Sandy. We've added North Dakota to it. As you can see, the numbers in North Dakota are a bit more friendly than they are in, you know, the neighboring states of Wisconsin and Minnesota. North Dakota is, you know, kind of on this, the low risk category, and things are far more open there than they had been in, you know, in some of the other locations. Coming up to the top, you can see the numbers are still really low in Manitoba. Seven people have died from coronavirus. That's really low. And so, you know, the restrictions there are a bit more loose, but I do think, around the Winnipeg area, you know, people are still, being very careful about it, and the border's not open. And, you know, I don't have that statistic on here, but my understanding is that some border crossings are opening June 26th. I don't know if anyone has any updated information about that. And that might only pertain to some of the more tourist-type areas, like in the International Falls border here in Minnesota, where the Canadian businesses in the summertime essentially rely on traffic coming from the United States. Ontario has a bit of a different picture here. They're still in the first stages of reopening. They've had almost 2,500 people die from coronavirus, limiting on gatherings to five or fewer. So on Ontario is definitely the most restricted of all the regions in which we operate as a company. Saskatchewan, it looks a lot more like Manitoba, although the numbers are up a bit. You know, it's still very low with 13. And, you know, a state of emergency is in place. Travel to northern Saskatchewan is still restricted. But they're, you know, in phase three of reopening, just as of 2 days ago, allowing most businesses to open and increasing limits on gatherings to 15 people indoors. Here in Minnesota, we made some changes as of today, increasing gathering size limits to 20 people. Things like, you know, recreational things are opening, pools are open, the testing efforts are up significantly. 80% of deaths still are, you know, holding to the statistic of being people from long-term care facilities. But so things are starting to open up here. Now, I think one of the questions is with all of the, you know, the protests and the riots, where there is a lot of mixing of people, are we going to see things change? And we won't know that really for probably another week or so. In Wisconsin, the numbers, you know, interesting that the deaths are lower. I think it's probably due to the long-term care facilities and the difference between what's happened in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a very different story, and, you know, we haven't seen this play out on a broad scale, but earlier on, they were challenged. The governor was challenged. His stay-at-home order was challenged. It went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and, it was deemed unconstitutional. So, as of about a month ago, three to four weeks ago, Wisconsin has been open, and their bars and restaurants have been open, and they're kind of managing it on a municipality-by-municipality basis, where the businesses and the consumers are making decisions about what's in their best interest. And so far, it hasn't led to really poor results. So that's an update of where we stand there. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Okay, and so just a couple last comments before we open it up to questions and putting Pat on the spot with some trivia. So I want to come back to the stock price discussion that we had in the town hall 2 weeks ago. I've learned a few things and just want to give you all an update on that. So stock price is starting to come back up a bit, as you may have seen. There was a lot of volume that traded since we last spoke, within the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to figure out who the seller is. As I think most of you know, and if you don't know, our shareholder base is quite consolidated. About 80% of the company is held by four companies. And I've spoken with all four of these. They do not think that, you know, at $3 Canadian, which is where we are today, that is a good opportunity to sell. And so I do not think that any of them are selling. One of the companies I thought might be was our second largest shareholder is Cowen Asset Management. They have the parent company that is investing in us is actually called Princeton Holdings. And the reason why I thought they were the ones selling is because they had a large family insurance business that they sold, and some of the stock was in a pension fund that was part of that business, and we knew that the shares that were in that pension fund were getting sold, and that was pressuring the price to go down. There was more sellers than there were buyers. What we've learned is that when they sold that insurance company, they also sold the pension fund, and so the other buyer of that insurance company, they inherited the pension fund. And what's normal when that happens is that the parent company that buys another company, they will liquidate all of the shares that are in one pension fund, and then they'll buy the shares that they think that they should buy for their own pension fund. And so it looks as if they have been the ones selling. And I knew more or less how many shares they had to sell. As of very recently, we haven't seen a lot of the volume trading. And so there's a decent chance that they are done selling. And so if that's the case, I think, you know, the market would be more balanced. And then hopefully this trend that we're seeing here in the last 10 days or so is one that continues. And, you know, we've seen a bit of lift to the stock. So we were at $3 Canadian today, and that's come up from where we were. So I just wanted to let everyone know. I know most of you on the call are shareholders, and so I thought we'd be interested in that information. Lastly, coming back to our rally cry. So the rally cry, is finish strong by staying focused for a bright start to fiscal year 2021. Our fiscal year ends in 20 days. We are absolutely in the final stretch. The kind of the clarifying points of that rally cry was to maximize financial results through the month of June. And what I can tell you is that our teams, you know, we are doing a great job. As I mentioned, we're operating efficiently and our commercial teams are doing well. Our administrative teams and support functions are really doing a great job, and we're finishing strong. Maintain excellent engagement and communication. I think, you know, there's a lot of great effort going on around the company. I won't speak for what we're doing as a leadership team. I think you all across the company are the ones that need to evaluate whether we're doing what we need to do. What I would put on you is if there are things that we can do to improve or anyone can do to improve, please give us feedback. We want to know how we can do things better and execute on maintaining excellent engagement and communication. The third one was revolve remaining outstanding items that require analysis. There's a laundry list of things. What I'll tell you is that we've been doing a great job there. I mean, all of you, there's a list of things to get done, and we've been checking things off the list. Set ambitious goals for next fiscal year. We're really close to finalizing that. So there's been a lot of really good work done around what we can do better for next year and how we can improve, you know, upon sort of budgeted type numbers. We'll be sharing that with everyone in the next town hall meeting. But there's a lot of good work, and we're definitely going to get that done on time. And then lastly is create the fiscal year 2021 business plan. And that is, that's almost done. Our goal was to get that done on or around, June 15th so that we could begin to roll it out into the organization. There's one little bottleneck we're waiting on the board for, and, we're pushing hard on that. But I think, you know, we're definitely on track. So the rally cry that we've talked about, finish strong by staying focused for a bright start to fiscal year 2021. It's working and everyone's really doing a great job. So that's much appreciated. So with that, I will open the floor before we move on to some of the more entertaining parts of the call.
Don't sell yourself short, Bob.
I'm not being very entertaining. I'm just throwing information out there.
No questions? Kevin, you always have a question. You're always good. Bob, what are you most excited about for next year?
I'm really excited about a couple of things. One is, we're becoming a well-oiled machine as a company, and that's allowing us to continue to improve upon our results. But we also have some really exciting projects in the pipeline. And I think, you know, given the strength of our team, I am excited about our ability to take on these new projects and continue to improve who we are as a company. Part and parcel to that as well is, our shareholders are very engaged in what we're doing, and they are engaged in, you know, not only appreciating results, but also wanting to play an active role in ensuring that we get the funding that we need and we can execute on the growth projects that we have. And I think really good things are going to happen there. So I'm really excited about, you know, our growth projects, the opportunities, and what we're going to look like in 12 months from now. And I think, you know, I could probably have said that every year for the last 5 years. I've been here a little over 5 years, and it's pretty remarkable, you know, after the end of every year, just how much progress that we've made each year. And I think if we look back to a year from now, who were we? Who was on the team? What was our business like? What were the things we were doing? Really amazing amount of progress. And so I'm really excited for that. These next 12 months, given some of the things I can see.
Any other questions or comments or cool things to highlight?
Quiet today.
Maybe quiet. They all know that I'm putting you on the spot with a little fun.
Dum dum dum.
I can't wait to get more. So Pat's a good sport. We were doing the first couple of these, we did trivia, silly things in the chat. That got to be a little distracting for the speaker, I found. So that's where we came up with the little more trivia. So Pat is my victim.
I am nervous because I don't know what the subject is.
He has absolutely no idea what the topic is because there is a focus topic. It's six questions. I thought we have our series six, our safety focus at Northgate, the six things of, you know, are you doing the right things with safety? So I thought it makes sense that we have six questions. I don't know if anyone realizes that today is National Herbs and Spices Day. First of all, that there is a National Herbs and Spices Day.
This is a great topic.
This is a great topic. I thought this would be a fun topic. And again, I got all of this from the internet so that we know it's true. So Pat, are you ready?
Oh, goodness.
Ready? Okay. We're just going to learn some stuff. Ready?
It's oregano.
Which spice is a psychotropic and in high enough doses causes hallucinations, delusions, and an impending sense of doom? Is it ginger, pepper, nutmeg, or cloves?
I don't think it's pepper. I'm going to go cloves.
Yes.
All right. Gotta be. Anyone else have a different opinion?
I'm going with posh.
It's nutmeg.
I don't know, the impending sense of doom, I kind of thought it was just 2020, but that's a whole other thing. It is nutmeg.
Okay.
Yes. Don't all go take a bunch of nutmeg.
The name gave it away.
Exactly. There you go. Okay. Ready? Next one. What's the most expensive spice in the world?
Can you guys hold on a second? I'm going to phone a friend here. It's, I think, dialing right now.
I know the answer to this.
Who do I?
Oh.
Sirius Globus is Mike.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you. What's the most expensive spice in the world? Quick, look it up on Google.
You got to read the options.
Is it sporty, baby, ginger, or scary?
Posh. Posh was the most expensive.
Which one do you think?
What's
that?
I think it's more expensive than gold.
Should we... Let's choose saffron.
So for those on the phone, saffron, vanilla, turmeric.
Yeah. Vanilla's pretty cheap from my understanding.
Yeah.
And cinnamon, a lot of people have it, so I would assume that it's... let's go with saffron, yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but let's go with it.
Okay. Final answer, saffron.
Very nice. Very nice. Season
well two. Played, Pat. Well played.
Vanilla is actually the second.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Good vanilla. All right. Which herb tastes like soap to some people? Coriander, cilantro, same thing. Same connection. Basil, oregano, or thyme?
Thyme.
Nope.
What is it, Julie? I heard Julie.
Coriander, cilantro.
Coriander, cilantro. There's actually a genetic code piece for some people. Where it tastes like soap. It's not just a preference thing. It's actually genetics.
I wish it tastes like soap instead of cilantro.
It's a very polarizing one. Name all four herbs in the famous Simon and Garfunkel song.
Oh.
I know it.
Oh, come on, Pat.
Pat, start singing.
Come on, Pat. You're old. You should know this.
I'm blanking on the song.
Well, come on. Scarborough Fair?
What's that?
Isn't it Scarborough Fair?
Scarborough
Fair. What if we give you the first spice, Pat?
Give me the first one, because I...
Parsley.
I'm blanking on this. I don't even know.
A lady's name. Who's going to sing?
Glenn.
Parsley,
go ahead and sing.
Rosemary, and thyme.
Oh, oh, God. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sing the rest of the song, Glenn.
Just a couple left. Which herb is not typically found in the spice mix called Herbe de Provence?
It's all fun and games until you're the one that's on the chopping block here.
I'm not laughing.
I'm going to go... God, I can't take time twice. Let's take the top one, marjoram.
Answer is parsley. Not parsley. Okay. This is the I wasn't counting. Is this our last one? Yes, this is our last one. Which herb originated from India but is strongly associated with Mediterranean cuisine? Oregano, basil, parsley, or rosemary?
I'm going to say rosemary.
Any others?
In other words, I'm wrong.
Oregano. I'm going to go oregano.
Actually, basil. If you notice, quite a few Thai dishes actually have basil in it.
You know, Pat, if you only had more than one friend, you might have got more than one right.
Thank you, Pat, for being my victim of today's trivia. And now you all know that today is Herb and Spice Day. Go cook. Go forth and cook. Okay. I'm ordering pizza, but you go forth and cook.
Any other questions from the group? Anything at all?
So.
Okay.
Well, if nothing else, we'll talk in another couple of weeks. If we've talked about keeping these going, but we want them to be useful, you know, a good use of time for people. No joke with the time thing. So any ideas for topics to cover, or if you think it's too much and we should spread them out longer, tell us. We want to do this for everyone. Like Bob said, the executive team is not judging how we're doing here. Everyone else is judging how we're doing here. And so the more we can hear either ideas for, you know, other things or reinforcements that you want us to keep doing things is really, really helpful.
Hey, Bill, let's see that haircut.
Where is he?
Let's go. There we go. Oh. High and tight. Yes.
Feels good, Billy Ray.
Is there a little mohawk kind of going in there? You're moving.
Yeah, he had more to work with than normal. So.
There, you got the little poof.
Yeah. Nice work.
How much will everyone pay for Mike to not show up like this in the next call, Mike? I'm going to call you and ask her the same thing.
You could raise funds to have people pay to keep it.
We
ought to have a GoFundMe to make it go away and a GoFundMe to make it stay and see which one wins.
My wife is already soliciting that it goes. She somehow got Jeremy's number and texted him to see if there's any way or anything he could do to get me to shave this. I'm now living in the barn.
Mustache or getting Mike to go? I've been putting money in to get Mike to go. But.
Well, she certainly doesn't want me to go home. So,
Mike, look up a photo of Kaiser Wilhelm before you leave the office to be on Google.
I've been told already.
See if you recognize him.
Speaking of fundraising, I just want to thank Kevin Maloney for leading our virtual food drive in Minneapolis. This is a specific thing to the Minneapolis area. And with the match from Series Global, we've raised almost $4,700 for a local food shelf, Second Harvest Heartland, which goes a long way towards helping with the problem of hunger in our area. So thank you to everyone who contributed, and thank you to Kevin for leading the way on that effort.
Absolutely.
That's a huge difference. Well, everyone have a great rest of your weeks. Keep the feedback coming.
Yeah, we will talk one more time before the end of the fiscal year. So please stay safe, and we look forward to reconnecting in a couple weeks.
And if you have votes for my next victim for the trivia, let me know.
Hmm. Good one.
All right.
All right.
See you, everyone.
See you. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Sarah. See you.
Thanks.
See you guys.